Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. One important thing about the platform that God has given us, this television station, is that the children of God all over are able to also hear the other side of the gospel. Now, this is the beginning of the year, and I had so many calls, so many text messages. People are asking, what do we do concerning first fruits offering? So we'll be looking first from the scriptural perspective, what the first fruit offering is and what it is not. That is my little comment, because it is necessary. And when we finish, please, we will allow some questions. So I want everybody to understand it. I don't want to leave any confusion, including those of you watching us online members. Now, I want you to note that sometimes when we look at the law and grace, I have seen people who tell us that there should be no tithe in the New Testament. No. There are some law, part of the law, things, ordinances in the Old Testament that is still applicable in grace. Now, tithe is one of them. And first fruit is also one of them. Now, you will notice, why do we say so? When Abraham paid tithe, just take note of these two things I want to say. I mean, two examples. When Abraham paid his tithe, was he under any law? He's the first product of grace in the scriptures. Abraham, praise God. From nowhere, God just chose him. And then, he paid tithe. In Genesis chapter 14, he met Melchizedek and saw him, the priest of the Most High God. Being a priest, he gave him tithe. And the priest gave him bread and wine. Amen. That was long before the law. And here in grace, Jesus Christ took the cup of wine and blessed it. The high priest of our profession. And took bread and break it also and gave to his disciples. Okay. And tithe was also a law in Israel later on. So the fact that it was done. Now the question even is, who instructed Abraham to pay tithe? Who instructed him to pay tithe? See, there is something the Bible says. Them that are led by the Spirit. You see, that is why those people of old, they were so spiritual, so close to God. So close to God that their daily work was always dictated and led by the Spirit of God. And that is why, without hearing anything, if they bless you, you will be blessed. And if they curse you, you will be cursed. Jacob brought all his children and every prophecy, all pronouncement he pronounced concerning them. He didn't say, thus said the Lord. The Lord said, you will be great. The Lord said, you will serve. No. He looked at them. You will be like this. You will be like this. You will be like this. All of them, one after the other. And every pronouncement he made has come to pass exactly. So close. And let me tell you, so that same spirit is still available now. If you are close enough to God and you allow yourself to be led by God, so also he'll be leading you to do certain things. You yourself will know why you are doing it. Okay. Now, maybe before Abraham is even a long time. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 4 verse 4. Abel. I'm coming somewhere because I want to address this topic once and for all. And leave those who want to argue, let them continue to argue. Chapter 4. Let me read it from verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Watch the type of offering that Abel brought. Abel brought firstlings. He went, he brought of the firstlings. Either firstlings or first fruit is the same thing. Who told him about that? Because later on it became a law. Now, why I'm quoting this is that nobody told him to bring an animal for sacrifice. Cain did not bring an animal for sacrifice. And not just that, it was a particular one, the firstling and the fat thereof. He brought and offered the sacrifice. Now, let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. See the law. Now, the book of Proverbs, that's why I'm making this comment first. The book of Proverbs is neither for the law nor for grace. It is a standard for living. It is a standard for relating with God and fellow human beings so that you can have peace and prosperity while alive. It's a book of wisdom. That is the book of Proverbs. So when you read Proverbs, even the Muslim gets wisdom from it. Unbelievers get wisdom from it. It is a book of wisdom. And so what is the wisdom here? Proverbs chapter 3. Now, it says verse 9 and verse 10. This is a general law. It's not for the Jews only. It is for every human being. Honor the Lord with thy substance. That's why our sister that came here and many others that come to give thanks here and praise God, they came, you see her offering 200 bags, and then, you know, she gave some other departments and health ministers and things like that, whatever she can give, they say, take, you know, eat with this, or, you know, eat this, and, you know, showing her appreciation. Honor the Lord with your substance. Everyone that celebrates, you want to do any celebration, you always buy one thing or the other, kill one thing or the other. Every time you spend something and give gifts out. Why are you giving the gifts out? To show your joy for whatever you are celebrating. So also, we say it here several times, there is a law. My lawyer Sopro, you know, the law of God is different from the law of man. I used to misquote it, but I think I've got it correct now. That consideration must not be adequate. That in law, it says consideration must not be adequate. Let him confirm it.
But there must be consideration for
them. There must be consideration
for there to be a valid contract.
Yes, there must be consideration, but the consideration must not be adequate.
Adequate.
But I say that in the law of God, consideration must be adequate.
As my Lord pleases.
See this lawyer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When you come before God, your consideration must be adequate. When you say, praise God, let me tell you why I say it should be adequate. Oga lawyer. My barrister there. My learned colleague. Listen, I'm not a lawyer, but I know my spiritual law. Listen, church, when it comes to a man, where you will stand and say, they were telling you to go and bring 150,000 naira for your wife to deliver by CS, and they told you you must come and deposit 100,000 first, if not, and she's dying, you know, and she's dying. You ran, you brought 50,000, you were begging the doctor with 50,000. He said, lie. Then you ran and cry to God, oh Lord, show me that you love me. Then, while the doctor is here to wait, the baby came out. Then you are coming, hey, I never knew you will answer me this way. Then you are writing long, long, long grammar at the end. I want to thank the Lord with 1,500. Is that consideration adequate? Is that adequate? Okay, lawyer. Praise the Lord. That's what I'm saying. He said, honor the Lord with your substance. Don't come here. See. Praise God. Do you know the meaning of child dedication? This church, we don't talk and tire. What are they doing? We just look now. I say, God, I don't teach them. My hand is open. Then you will say, and then you will wait till the day trouble comes. Father, I dedicate the child to you. What you are actually saying is, when you bring the child to the altar, you are taking the child. Say, God, now you get your picking. Take. You are supposed to leave the child for altar and go. But you have to redeem that child. You have to redeem that child. And to redeem that child is to give something and collect the child back. You have dedicated that child. If you come empty-handed, you have not dedicated that child. You will not be able to make reference to the day that child was dedicated. Oh, I have taught you people this. Continue to come. The end of this month now, 20 children will come here. 3 people only will bring offering. And when they want to bring the offering, say, it is not adequate. You want to give testimony. Don't give testimony if you don't have something, any substance to honor him with. Don't bring a ridicule. Can't you see when they read your testimony, people will laugh? There are some things when you talk, you know, and another person, you know, traveled home and came back safely and is appreciating God with a sum of, then he will give the transport money to go and come. He will calculate transfer money to come. Father, take thanksgiving for Johnny Mercy because of what he saw on the road and how you kept it away from me. Maybe they even escaped from accident. Another person, everybody died, not only he remained for the accident. So I told God, I will roll at the altar. For doing this for me, Father, I will roll at the altar. So if you roll at the altar, you roll for God. Because God loves us to be rolling. Anytime you roll, God is pleased. So, Father, I promise you, I will roll so that you'll be happy. Say, I roll. Because God wants everybody to be rolling. And people don't like rolling, but me, Father, I will roll for you. You are rolling for yourself, not for God. If you are not ready for Thanksgiving, don't come. It is a law. Proverbs. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Chapter 3, verse 9. With thy substance, I've explained that. And with the first fruits of all thine increase. We are talking about first fruits. Honor him with the first fruits of all thine increase. When you do that, verse 10, What will happen? Everybody, shall we go? So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presence shall burst out with new wine. That is the first law. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then, and that is the general law. But to the children of Israel, let's go to Leviticus chapter 23. This was the law to them. This is where we all preachers pick it from. Leviticus chapter 23, please pay real attention so that we settle this as a church. And we are not moved anymore because we are established. I read it from verse 9 up to verse 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you be come into the land which I give unto you and shall reap the harvest thereof. Take note. When you come into the land which God has promised you and you will reap the harvest thereof. It means they have reached the land. That farming season, that crop season, they have sown, and now you are now harvesting. That is what we talk about, the first fruit. Let's read on. Then ye shall bring a sheaf here is handful of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. Let me finish reading it. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. When is he to do it? On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf, and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be to 10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savour. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of an hin. Verse 14. And ye shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now watch it. First and foremost, these ordinances that you see in the Old Testament, although it is a law, listen, it is also speaking about Christ. So we as the bride of Jesus Christ, we first and foremost, for any of these ordinances to be meaningful for us, we have to understand what it is all about. We have to understand, because every ordinance God gave, there's a reason for it. It is speaking of something. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is speaking of Christ. It is a type of Christ. How do I know? See a scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. The order of resurrection. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Praise God. Okay. See the order. Let's go to verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become what? The first fruits of them that slept. Verse 23. Go to verse 23. Concerning resurrection, he said, but every man in his own order, the order of resurrection, he said, Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. So, the day I came across this scripture, then we understand better what he was teaching us in that ordinance. Remember, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. In Matthew 27, when Christ resurrected, was he the only one that resurrected? Graves were open. Some other people also resurrected with him. Some saints. I'm sure, right from the time of Abel, that were buried, they also resurrected. But the Bible records, if let's read it, Matthew 27, verse 51. Matthew 27, verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened the day Christ resurrected. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose, verse 53, and came out of the graves after his resurrection. It was he came out first, then they followed him. After his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Remember that Christ is referred to as the first begotten of the Father. So what is first fruit? See what happened. When you get to the land, let me summarize it so that we move forward. When you get to the land, that is Leviticus 23, wherein God has given you, and then you have your first harvest. He said, you will take a sheaf of it. Not all the harvest. Is somebody understanding me? Not all. He said, a handful, part of it. Take it. Where do you go? Take it to the priest. When you give him, take it there, he will wait till the next day after the Sabbath. The next day after the Sabbath is the first day of the week, which is Sunday. What will he do? He will wave it for everybody to see. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And by that, God will use it and bless you. That is exactly when Bible refers to Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as Christ, the first fruits. First fruits from where? From the dead. All the children of, you know, as long as you are in on this scheme, we are all dead. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And many died. Some of us physically, we are dead. Because once you are separated from God, you are dead. But from those who died and we are buried, who was the first that was harvested from the ground? It was Christ. And others that were with him came out. And because he came out, he defeated grave. That was the beginning of God's harvest of his children on earth. Praise God. So he is the first fruit. So they were keeping that covenant without knowing what they were doing. Just like the Feast of Pentecost. The Feast of Pentecost, they were just coming and did not know the meaning until it happened. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What happened on the day of Pentecost was now the fulfillment of the law of Pentecost. I've explained that before. But for the purpose of this, because the denominational preachers, they teach it different. And the reason is this. The gospel now has now been monetized. Everything they can see in this Bible that can make them have more money from the people, they will capitalize on it. First fruit, then they come every year. Your first income for the month, your first salary,
Bring everything to God. It is your first fruit. I'm here to tell you that it is unscriptural. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That waving for all to see, it was fulfilled. Christ, amen, resurrected, and the waving there is for everybody to see that there has been a resurrection. That is the waving that the priest was waving. Everyone saw it, and Christ also and his people were waved for everyone to see it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You will notice it, Acts chapter 1. Let's read it so that you can know where I am referring to. Verse 3. It says, the scribe Luke was saying, to whom also Jesus now showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them, how many days? 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. If you go to verse 9 and verse 10, we are talking about waving the first fruit for everyone to see. And when he has spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. Verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Verse 11. Which also say, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So, people saw him lifted up. He was waved for all to see, and heaven received him. That is what the law of the first fruit was given. That is what it was so speaking of. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Like I was saying, the Bible even make it clearer in Exodus chapter 23 verse 19. This is the way he put it. The first, you see it? The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. The emphasis is the first part. The first of the first fruits. What does it mean, the first of the first fruits? You go into the farm to harvest your harvest. The first one that you harvest, get a part of that first one, the first of it, a portion of it. Remember, he said it's a sheaf, so it's a handful. Bring it, and as everybody saw it, that is how everybody will also see your prosperity when you do that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Chapter 26, Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 2, stated the same thing. He put in this language. Chapter 26, Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 2. He said, thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there, and he continue on what they are supposed to do with it. So it is a first part of it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And watch it. When is it to be done? The emphasis here. When is it to be done? Amen. It is to be done only in your first harvest in that farm, in that your farmland. Only. Why did he say so? Go to chapter 26 again. Verse 1. Let me just read it through. Let me just read it through up to verse 10. Listen very well. And it shall be, when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possesseth it and dwelleth therein, that thou shalt take of the first of the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place where the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. Verse 3, and thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, see the reason you are bringing it down. See the reason. See the reason. I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord swear unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thy hand, and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God. See what you will say. You recollect who you were before. A Syrian, ready to perish, was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil treated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. When we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness and with signs and great wonders. And he brought us into this place and has given us this land, even a land that flowed with milk and honey. Verse 10, and now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Therefore, by this, if I break it down now, you suffer, finish your school. You suffer, after NYC, wahala, finally, you got a job. Your first salary, that is the kind of prayer that we go. You will not take the whole salary. You have to take a part of that salary. Listen, church, first fruit is not your tithe. The first income you receive, listen, church, you don't pay tithes. The first income of that job you have started, of that business you have started, you don't pay tithes. You pay first fruits. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You pay first fruits. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Who are you to give? And it doesn't make sense anyway that God will tell you to bring all your income and drop at the altar. What will you eat that month? God is not that wicked. All he's interested in you doing is to connect that thing. If that prayer is the important prayer, because if you recognize that it is God that has now settled you, you will tread carefully and always remember him. That is his own way of telling you, remember that I am the one that giveth the power to make wealth. God wants you to recognize him, and above all, connect that your job with him. Recognize him. So, who are you to give that offering to? The first fruit. He said, give it to the priest. So, in this case, you will take it to the pastor, who will receive it and bless you. But let me tell you something. By the revelation of the Spirit of God, I have not failed to show you something that the first fruits that you receive, we here, listen carefully, apply it, it will work for you. I am speaking this by the revelation of the Spirit of God, that your first income you receive, part of it, take it to the Lord. Take again part of it and go to your parents that took care of you. that sponsored you in your education, that empowered you now. Now you are having your independence from them. Now you've gotten a job. You need the prayer of your pastor, but more importantly, church, you need the prayer of your parents. I've told you this several times. Those who apply it, they see the result. Your mother, your father, if your mother or your father is not alive, there was somebody that saw you through. Go to that person. Uncle, brother, I have finished. I have gotten a job. Can I tell you something? There's one mistake some of us make. You're a graduate, and the job you're looking for, minimum should be 100,000 naira in a month. But you waited for 6 months, no job. 1 year, no job. So small time. You got one small job that is going to pay you 25,000 naira only. So you say, make a manage this, or make person not die for Lagos here. Then, you go there and they are giving you the first salary there. You don't consider it as a salary. You are still waiting for that oil company job. You are still waiting for that. That is why some of us remain like that. That first one is an income. That's the first job you are doing. And some of you, you will never move beyond that because you did not recognize God with that little one. After all, there is something the labor union are saying, dignity of labor. Labor is labor. Praise God. Some people live on 200,000 naira salary every month. Some people live on 10,000 naira salary every month. And that is their job. Dignity of labor. And you don't look down on them because the job they do is also important. If they don't do it, somebody else will suffer somewhere. So it is also a job. You don't look down on any job. You don't look down on your gate man that opens the door for you. It is because he's there. That's why thief not enter that house. You don't look down on a driver. In fact, it's even foolish to look down on a driver. Because your life is in his hand as he goes through. You know, you don't sit on the same side with him. I think they sit for one side, the other side. So when the T1 call, you go, put your side. That's why Oga died, the driver escaped. You don't look down on the sanitation. The person that is cleaning your environment, if he doesn't come to clean, you will soon know his importance. So there is no job you should look down. We should learn to appreciate God. Okay, Father, is this what you are starting me with? At least this is now salary. Take a part of it. 25,000 naira. Take 5,000. Take 2,000. Take even 1,000. And take it before the Lord. Then, take another one to your mama, your father, whoever is still alive, or whosoever brought you up when your parents departed or when your parents rejected you. He brought you up. The prayer of that person, he brought you up because he's interested in your progress. Any prayer he will pray, especially that you recognize him and you came back, it's not the money, it's that action. He will know that if it's better for you, you will remember him. And any prayer he pray, prophesy over you, comes to pass. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why the Bible says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged and that it will be well with you. And how do you honor them? This is one of the ways you honor them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. And so finally here, let me note this also. When you change a job, when you have to change a job, this job ended. Now you are starting a new job. The first salary you receive there also, you pay the first fruits. Because it is now a new farm. You are going to farm and harvest new. Praise the Lord. So, the doctrine that says you should come and give all that you have the beginning of the year. I say it again, it is unscriptural. Also, but you can on your own decide. I know a few people in the church here, they do that. Their first income for the year, they come to me. And when I tell them, they say, no, this is a vow between me. I say, okay, not a doctrine. And they come, they bring it, and I bless them. One of them even said that one particular year he didn't do it. And how the year was rough for him. And he knew it was because he didn't do it. And he kept asking God to have mercy. Now, it is because you made a vow. And anytime you make a vow, God holds you to it. Now, that is personal between you and God, but not a Bible doctrine. You can even decide that the first 3 months of the year, you go give all your salary to God for anything at all. That is between you and God. But let nobody condemn you that your first salary of the year, you did not bring it to his church, to your pastor. It is wrong. God bless you.